car's kind of old, and so I'm honestly surprised it made it that far, but, you know, don't let it hear that, because then I'll probably just fall over and die. But anyways, I had it parked there, I had the flashers on, and a cop, like, comes over, and he's like, is your car okay? I'm like, yeah, my car's fine, like, don't worry about it, we're good. And he's like, okay, it looked like it might be broken down. I was like, wow, okay. And welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking about my summer U.S. road trip that I took last summer. I had this huge summer plan booked for Italy and South America and the Middle East. And then, obviously, you know, everything kind of got canceled. And I spent probably a solid 2 weeks working with airlines, Airbnbs, things like that to get all my money back. Fortunately, I was able to get all of my money back. In fact, I got my last refund just a couple months ago. There were a couple places like Machu Picchu in Peru, and then the Lord's Supper painting there in Italy, where I guess no one was actually there working during the pandemic. And so it took me quite a while to get those refunds back. But I eventually got either all my money back in vouchers or actually refunded to me. So that was pretty fortunate that, you know, I was able to get all that money back. There was a few thousand dollars lying around out there. And so I was happy, you know, to be able to get all that back. But in the meantime, you know, I spent quite a little bit of time trying to research, find places that were still open, things like that. And finally, I kind of just gave in to the fact that I wasn't going to be, you know, traveling internationally last year, at least over the summer. So I went ahead and I booked and started sort of planning a road trip around the U.S. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while, but I'd kind of just been putting it off. You know, the grandeur of a international trip always kind of just overpowered and overshadowed, you know, a road trip. But I was really excited to do this trip. It was 13 days. I think I drove a little over 6,000 miles. I get an oil change like every 5,000 miles, and I had to get an oil change while I was on vacation because of how far I had driven. So this was a really cool trip. I just did like a huge sort of loop, and so I'm really excited to get into it. Before I do, I told you I'd update you on this. I got my passport back this past week, which is pretty incredible. It only took 4 weeks when I was given a 10 to 12 week range. I got updates through email about it, and it said it was shipping off at the beginning of last week, I suppose. And so I finally received it at the beginning of this past week, and I was really shocked and pleasantly surprised. So I'm ready to rock and roll in case something comes up here in the next few weeks. So anyways, the beginning of this trip, I obviously started in Texas. I drove to Memphis, Tennessee. It was about 420 miles. Took me the good part of the day to get there. But Memphis is awesome. I'd never been to Tennessee really before, and so, you know, I really didn't have any expectations. It was either between Nashville or Memphis, and Memphis was more on the western side, so I went ahead and went with that, and I'm really glad I did. There was a lot to do there. As soon as I arrived, I went to the Victorian Village, which has a whole, it's like a whole street just full of Victorian-era style houses, and it's really just a quaint little neighborhood. A lot of the places are either Airbnbs or some of them have been turned into museums. And so it's just a really cool part of town, really picturesque, and it was nice to just walk around and take a stroll. The Lorraine Motel, which is the site of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, is there in Memphis, and it's actually been turned into the Civil Rights Museum. This is a really interesting place to go check out. Unfortunately, because of COVID, it was closed. But there were still some, you know, placards and things like that you could read and look around outside the museum. And so I was still able to do a little bit of research there and learn a little bit of history about the place. So that was really awesome to check out. Also, a really random thing to go and do is to visit the Bass Pro Shops. They have the Bass Pro Pyramid there, which is actually the 10th largest pyramid in the world. So, I mean, you have like the pyramids in Giza, and then you have like some random other pyramids, and then bam, you have Bass Pro Shops in Memphis, Tennessee. And so, like, when you're driving into Tennessee, you can literally see the Bass Pro from the interstate. And so I was like, I have to check this out, obviously. And so I went there. Obviously, it's free to just walk in and go around the inside the pyramid. There's actually like a restaurant and a hotel, which you obviously have to pay to go to those. But just going inside Bass Pro, I walked around and kind of just wasted a little bit of time exploring. And so that was pretty cool, pretty random sight. Beale Street is a pretty famous sort of avenue there in Memphis. There's a lot of restaurants and bars and just shops there along that street. Most of the time they have like live music and you can just, you know, it's a great place to hang out. They actually close the street. You can't drive up and down it in your car. And it's really just an awesome place to hang out. Because, you know, it was COVID, it was the beginning of COVID really. It was like July, so I guess a few months into it. A lot of places were either not open or the entire street was closing down at 9 o'clock, whereas I would assume this place would be open till like 2 or 3 in the mornings usually. So it was just a whole different vibe, a whole different experience there. But, you know, all the neon was still lit up and the one restaurant I found still had live music. So it was still a really cool experience, but I could only imagine, you know, what that would be like times 50. So it must be crazy when everything's back to normal. So you got to try the local cuisine. So in Memphis, you know, there's Central Barbecue, Memphis Barbecue. It's right next to the Lorraine Motel. So I went and checked out the Civil Rights Museum area, and then I went right across the street to get some barbecue. Absolutely amazing. And then Gus's Fried Chicken. Those were like the two top things on TripAdvisor when it came to food, and rightly so. They were both amazing. Gus's Fried Chicken is like this little hole-in-the-wall place, and you have to like go into an alley to order. And it was kind of sketchy, but I think that just adds to the charm of the place, you know? So it was really good, and definitely recommend checking out those things. So after that, I drove from Memphis. This is the second day of my trip. I drove from Memphis to St. Louis, and then St. Louis to Decatur, Illinois. This is about 400 miles total. I just made a pit stop in St. Louis to visit the Gateway Arch. I did not realize that the Gateway Arch had a museum underground, underneath the arch. And so this was a cool surprise, and it was actually still open. You just had to go in and fill out like a time slot of when you wanted to visit the museum. And fortunately, there was like a time slot opening like 2 minutes after I got there. So I was able to just fill that out and go visit the museum. It was pretty cool. Nice surprise. It talks about the history of the, you know, settling and founding of St. Louis and just that Missouri Valley region there. So that was really interesting. Gateway Arch is actually a national park, and so that was my first national park of the trip, and it's a pretty cool place. Apparently, normally you can go to the top of the arch. I think it might be like $10 to do something like that, and I can only imagine how amazing those views have to be from the top, but unfortunately it was closed at the time. Now, right across the street from the Gateway Arch is the old courthouse, which is really picturesque and cool looking. You take some good photos with the courthouse underneath the arch. And, you know, St. Louis is just a pretty cool old town. I enjoy just walking around the streets. One thing to keep in mind is there is a lot of paid parking, so make sure that you just carry some change with you. I had to fill up the meter twice just because I didn't prepare the first time. I put in like a couple hours the first time and had to go back. And put some more change in. But make sure you have some coins with you, especially whenever you're driving through any big cities. Like in Chicago, I had to pay for parking as well. So just keep that in the back of your head. I also walked over to Busch Stadium, which is the St. Louis Cardinals baseball stadium there. It was all closed down, but you could still see through some of the fencing the field, which was really cool. It's a pretty iconic stadium there. And so I just kind of walked around and checked out the stadium as much as I could. So one thing I'll say is there's just a lot of cool stops when you're driving in like the Midwest area. When I was driving from St. Louis to Decatur, there was this like antique thrift store on the side of the road. And there was just this huge like life-size pink elephant just on the side of the highway advertising this place. And so, you know, I'm driving and I'm like, how can I not stop at this huge pink elephant? So I had to like make a U-turn and get off the highway and then kind of make a detour to get back to it. But, you know, that's just one of those random cool things you run across. And when you're on a road trip, it's like, you know, I don't have a timetable. Why not? So, you know, make time for fun stops, and you never know what you're going to see up there. Now, Decatur, Illinois, I did not know this, is one of the early homes, or was one of the early homes of Abraham Lincoln. And so there were a ton of, like, placards around town that had, like, some history and some historical facts about his life. And it was almost like a scavenger hunt. Like, you would find one, and you'd kind of read all about it, and then you'd get back in your car, and you'd be driving, and you'd find another one. So that was pretty interesting. I did not know that before going, and so that was just a cool little, you know, little feature there. And Decatur, there are some cool old houses. There were a lot of houses that I was like, these would make perfect haunted houses just because of how they were built, and the style. But just walking around Decatur, it wasn't a very big town whatsoever, and it was just, it was really cool just to hang out, explore the town. And, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time in the Midwest, so just sort of the architecture and the scenery and the settings for all those places were pretty cool. Interesting fact, in Decatur, Illinois, that was the first time I'd ever booked a hotel in the United States by myself, which is really weird. Like, I've booked hotels and hostels all over the world, but I've never actually booked a hotel in the United States. So that was really random, and it was kind of weird for some reason to book a hotel in the U.S. Okay, so after Decatur, I drove up to Chicago, and I made a few detours through some different states to get to Chicago. One of the main reasons I wanted to go on this trip was to knock off certain states that I hadn't been to yet. So states like Michigan and Indiana were on that list, and so, you know, I was so close up there. I went ahead and drove through Indiana, went up to Michigan. I got off at, like, the first exit there in Michigan, and it was called Buffalo, Michigan. And it was a really cool little town. It was, like, it's right off of Lake Michigan, so it's, like, a beach town, sort of, which is weird to say in Michigan. But, you know, there was, like, all these, like, beachfront houses, and, like, it was really cool. So I found some parking, and I walked down to the beach, not really knowing what to expect, and there's just Lake Michigan right there. And so, you know, I'm there, so I figure I might as well go swimming. So I get in, swim around a little bit. Lake Michigan is absolutely freezing. It's July, and it's still so cold. And so then I get out, and I forgot to take my towel, because I guess I didn't really think about swimming in Lake Michigan. So I just thought I'd be looking at it or whatever. And so I was kind of just, like, drip drying or whatever, and I'm walking around, and the sand is, like, super white. It's so hot out. And my feet are absolutely on fire in this sand. And so I get the bright idea that there's this, like, little boardwalk up on this grassy little dune of a hill. And I'm like, I'm going to go check that out. And so I start walking, and there's literally no shade. I mean, there's, like, some grass shade covering part of the trail. And so you're kind of just, like, walking on the edge of the trail the whole way. But it was funny because you'd meet groups of people who thought that that was also a good idea. And there'd be, like, five people standing in the shade of, like, this one little plant. And then, like, they would sprint to the next little shadow, and then you would sprint to that shadow they were just in. But, yeah, my feet were, like, killing me for the next 2 or 3 days because they were absolutely scorched. Now, in Indiana, there's also Sand Dunes National Park, which I did not stop at. I was getting kind of tired and just wanted to get to Chicago. And there was, like, a ton of construction going on in Indiana. I feel like I've read that there's always construction going on there. But it was kind of a mess, and I didn't want to spend too much time there. But Sand Dunes National Park looks pretty cool, and, you know, wherever there are sand dunes, it has to be pretty epic. So Sand Dunes National Park there in Indiana. Now, when I got to Chicago, a lot of stuff was closed, but I was able to go to Millennium Park, which is where the famous The Bean statue has a different name. It's like the future or something. I can't remember. Some weird, like, artsy name, but everyone just calls it The Bean. And it was really interesting because it was all blocked off and, like, barricaded, so people weren't, like, congregating around it. So, like, all my pictures are just me and The Bean, which is pretty unique. I feel like that probably doesn't happen too often. So that was, like, one of the first stops that I made where it was, like, around a ton of people. And so, like, I parked half a mile away in this parking garage, and I walked all the way to the park, and they're like, yeah, you need a mask. And I was like, gosh dang. So I had to go back to my car, grab my mask, and walk all the way back. And then I'm pretty sure I just kept my mask in my pocket the rest of the trip, so I didn't have to walk back to my car for wherever I parked. So that was pretty awesome. It's right off of Michigan Avenue, which is really cool in and of itself. It's just, like, the architecture is so cool. And it just reminds me of like an old timey movie of, I guess, Chicago or New York or something like that. Just with all the molding and stuff on the buildings. It's so cool. And it's just so busy all the time. There's people riding bikes up and down. There's people walking dogs, jogging. You know, there's cabbies going up and down the roads. It's just a cool setting. And for someone who doesn't, you know, visit big cities very often, it's just like, this is a big city. I love it. Like, I love sort of the hustle and the, you know, the, I guess, the energy going on where, like, everyone's just in a rush to go wherever. And there's just a few people just, you know, enjoying themselves and taking their time. I do appreciate that, and I like that. I really don't necessarily like big cities that much, but I do like certain situations within big cities. So that's really cool. I do like that Michigan Avenue setting there. Now, there is an art museum there. I think it's just called the Chicago Museum of Art. It's one of the most prolific art museums in the United States. It has some of the best American art. I know, like, American Gothic is there and some other important pieces of American art. Unfortunately, it was closed at the time, and so I was not able to visit. That was one of the top things that I wanted to see and do there. So I guess I'll have to go back. Same with Wrigley Field, where the Chicago Cubs play. I really wanted to check that out. I went to Wrigleyville, which is a really cool sort of nook and sort of neighborhood there in Chicago. There's a lot of cool restaurants and things like that. It would definitely be a cool place just to go and hang out. But obviously Wrigley was closed, and unlike Busch Stadium there in St. Louis, you could not even see inside the park. Like, it was all gated up, and there was like screens on all the fences and stuff. So I couldn't even like see the ivy or anything iconic about the park, which kind of sucked. But I guess I'll just have to go back. Now, back to the cuisine, because obviously you're going to have to eat while you're there. Get some deep dish pizza. I mean, that's like a Chicago staple. You got to try it out. It's really good. It's just, I don't know what else to say. It's pizza, and it's deep dish, and it's great. So try it out. I will say that I did do a lot of like meal prepping and stuff like that. So I didn't really try and spend a lot of money on food. I bought like a bunch of peanut butter and bread and stuff like that to try and make sandwiches along the way. But these were Chicago pizza and like Memphis barbecue were two of the things I was like, I have to have this stuff. And then everyone recommended the fried chicken there in Memphis. So I broke away from that streak really early. But then once I got into the national parks, it came in really handy with all my snacks and stuff. So after Chicago, I drove to Rothsay, Minnesota. This was probably my longest driving day. I drove like over 600 miles, and so I was literally in the car like all day long. But this was when I drove through Wisconsin. And, you know, when I was planning this trip, I don't think I would have, you know, imagined that Wisconsin would have just been so beautiful to drive through. But it really was. I mean, there were obviously like a ton of dairy farms along the highways. Just all of the green and the lush fields. It was pretty awesome. And I'm not sure if it was because I've never really been up to the north, the Midwest, northern Midwest before. And so I've never really experienced that type of landscape. But I really enjoyed it. It was really beautiful. And, you know, I've done a lot of driving in my life. Like, when I was in college, I would drive from Texas to Arizona, which is like 1,000 miles each way. And I would do that a couple times a year. I'll drive to Alabama every once in a while, which is like 7 hours each way. And so, you know, I don't mind driving that much. But, you know, after a while, it just gets monotonous. But up there, just because I think it's because I'd never driven up there before. It's just something new. I mean, those drives just flew by. I mean, a 10-hour drive, you'd be like, oh, I'm already here. Just because everything was fresh, new, exciting. The scenery was really awesome. And so those drives up there in the northern Midwest, you know, just flew by, were super picturesque. And I would definitely go up there, especially in the summertime, and drive them again. I mean, they were gorgeous. So driving through Wisconsin, surprisingly amazing. Another food thing you got to get is cheese curds. I mean, you're in Wisconsin, so you have to get some cheese. And they have like these cheese curds at every gas station. And so there's like fresh cheese curds, and there's like the local cheese curds, and then there's like the Wisconsin's favorites. And so cheese curds, they're kind of weird looking. They're kind of just like lumpy pieces of cheese. But it's like the natural form of the cheese once it's made or whatever, before, like, they don't actually shape it into like the blocks or whatever. Like, this is what it naturally looks like. And so there's like a ton of different flavors. Like, I got ranch flavored cheese curds, and they are really good. So definitely get some cheese while you're there. You can pick it up wherever. And yeah, you gotta try the local cuisine while you're traveling, you know? So another really weird thing was up north, it was staying light super late. So when I was up there in Minnesota, it was like 10 o'clock at night and still light outside, which was pretty crazy. Later on in the trip, like a couple days later, I was in Montana, and it was like 11:30 at night, and there was still like light on the horizon. I was like, where am I? Like, am I in the Arctic? Like, what is going on? I've also heard, I don't think it was in Rothsay, but somewhere up there in Minnesota or North Dakota, apparently sometimes you can even see the northern lights. So I'm not going to lie, I definitely went out and checked to see if I could see anything at like 1 or 2 in the morning. I couldn't, but apparently that can happen sometimes, so you might get lucky. So Rothsay, whenever I was getting there, there was like this massive storm coming in on the horizon. And so I pulled off at like the nearest hotel, checked in for the night, and just waited out this raging storm. I mean, it was like almost sounded like a tornado was coming through for about 30 minutes. And then, you know, as quickly as it came, it was gone. And the landscape was absolutely beautiful. I mean, there were a ton of storm clouds still out, but then the sun was, you know, just shining bright. There were tons of like the green lush fields and flowers, and it was just, I just loved it up there. I mean, the scenery was amazing. And if you like nature at all, you know, you would have a great time just exploring, and, you know, driving some backcountry roads, and just checking out what the northern Midwest has to offer. I took some back roads after this rainstorm, and I almost got the car stuck, and I was like, maybe I should not do that anymore. So I definitely stuck to paved roads after that. But I did do some more exploring, and it was awesome. I stopped, to take some pretty cool pictures, and some of my favorites of the whole trip were taken in this random little tiny town, in Minnesota. And so I saw like these railroad tracks. I'm like, I'm going to take some pictures of these because they're like just cutting through like this lush prairie. And it's just so green and like glistening from the rain. And so I pull over, and my car is kind of old. And so I'm honestly surprised it made it that far. But, you know, don't let it hear that, because then I'll probably just fall over and die. But anyways, I had it parked there. I had the flashers on. And so I'm like over there taking some pictures, you know, doing my thing. And a cop like comes over, and he's like, is your car okay? I'm like, yeah, my car's fine. Like, don't worry about it. We're good. And he's like, okay. It looked like it might be broken down. I was like, wow. Okay. So anyways, that was pretty funny. But, you know, just enjoying, you know, just taking your time, enjoying the nature out there is, you know, something you really have to do if you're going to appreciate your time in the Midwest up there. So I definitely did appreciate it. And you know, it's really awesome up there. So the next day, I believe this is day number 5. I drove from Rothsay to the International Peace Gardens and then to Williston, North Dakota. It's about 530 miles. And the International Peace Garden is really interesting. So whenever I was planning this trip, they had just imposed the land border restrictions of Canada and Mexico. And I've always wanted to go to Banff National Park up there in southern Canada. It's like right on the other side of the border with Glacier National Park. It's actually like the Canadian side of Glacier. And so I had originally planned to try and get to Banff because the border closure was supposed to expire while I was on the trip. So I was like, okay, maybe it will expire and then I can just go into Banff. But they had already re-upped the closure one time, and I believe it's still closed like a year later. So it's a good thing I didn't wait it out. But I had this thought in the back of my head that probably will still be closed. So I still want to get to Canada while I'm that close. So there has to be, you know, how good our relations are with Canada, there has to be a place where you can like kind of get into Canada without actually going into Canada. You know, like one of those little sneaky, like, oh, this half of this restaurant's in the United States and the other half's in Canada. And it's just like this cool random thing. So I did a little research and I found the International Peace Gardens in North Dakota. It's on the North Dakota-Calgary border, Canada-North Dakota border, somewhere around there. Anyways, you can actually go into the park. You enter through the United States, and then it's just like this huge park with some hiking trails, and there's some museums on it. And you can actually go into Canada while you're in this park. And so I'm like, okay, if this restriction has been re-upped while I'm near the International Peace Gardens, I'm just going to go there to hit Canada. So obviously it did get re-upped. And so I drive over to the International Peace Gardens, and it's really cool. It was actually still closed for Canadians. Canadians still could not go into the International Peace Gardens, but the U.S. had opened their side. And so you kind of like drive, and there's like no customs. The customs are farther into Canada, but you, as you're driving through the entrance, you have to pay like, I don't know, $10 or something to get in. You're like in Canada, and they're like, hey, welcome to Canada. And you're like, hey, cool. And so then you just drive in, and there's a bunch of little hiking trails. There's like the Game Warden Museum there. It's pretty interesting. There's, you know, quite a bit to do. I probably spent a few hours there just kind of hiking. I think I had lunch there, things like that. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's really picturesque, just like everything else I feel like I've talked about in this podcast. And you know, you're in Canada and you didn't even really leave the United States, but you did. So that was pretty awesome. I was able to, get into Canada that way. I definitely want to go back because I still want to go to Banff, and there's a few other places in Canada that I want to visit, but for a summer where I thought I couldn't, you know, visit another country, you know, I found the legal loophole there to get into another country, so that was pretty fun. So after that, you know, I spent a couple hours there. I went ahead and drove to North Dakota, and that was a nice little drive in and of itself. Now, this place, Williston, North Dakota, is like the last stop for like 5 hours or something like that if you're driving west. So like I mentioned earlier, whenever I was driving along on this trip, I would just be driving. And if I felt, you know, like I was getting tired, I didn't want to drive anymore, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to look up the next stop and, you know, go ahead and book a hotel. And then I'd just pull off. So I'm kind of getting tired, but, you know, I've had sort of that pit stop at the International Peace Garden, so I wasn't, like, extremely tired. I could have kept driving if I wanted to. But I'm like, you know, it's getting late. It was, like, 9 o'clock or something, so I was like, I'd better go ahead and pull off and, you know, figure out, you know, where I'm going to stay. So I get on, and I start booking my hotel, and I find this one hotel. And, you know, like, I usually would look at the map on booking just to see which one was closest to the interstates. And so I'm, like, looking, and there's literally nothing anywhere after this hotel. And so I'm like, well, it's a good thing I'm stopping. So I stopped. And so I go in, and I'm, like, checking in, and the guy checking me in there was like, yeah, like, this is the last stop for, like, a few hundred miles. And I'm like, wow, it's a good thing I stopped. It had been, like, 1 a.m. by the time I got to another hotel. So if you are driving through Williston, North Dakota, make sure that you have 5 more hours in you, or else you're going to be pretty annoyed when you have been driving for about 2 hours and you realize you still have 3 more to go, unless you want to sleep in your car. So that was pretty fortunate that I decided to go ahead and stop. But this is the place where it was like 11:30 and still light outside. I think I was on the phone with my parents, and Williston is on like the border of the time zone change, and so really, if you probably walked like 10 steps, you would be in like another time zone where it's like 2 hours prior to that. So that's one reason why I was so late. But then you're just so far north that it stays lighter as well. So it was pretty weird because I was talking to my parents in Arizona, and it was like, say, 9:30 there, and it was like 11:30 for me, and the sun was like in the exact same place. Like it was sunset for both of us. So that was pretty interesting, and pretty unique experience. I think that'd be really weird to live someplace like that where, you know, even now, like in Texas, it's 8 o'clock right now, and it's still pretty light out. It'll probably be light for another 45 minutes or so. But you know, to be light to like midnight, that's gotta be insane. And then also like in the winters when it's, you know, dark 20 hours out of the day, that's gotta be pretty crazy as well. Okay, so the last day I'm going to talk about, pretty short and sweet, Williston to Kalispell, Montana. It was about 560 miles. It was about a 9-hour drive. Now, what made this drive so annoying was the fact that you had to drive through so many small towns, and all these little small towns had like 25 mile per hour. They were all like 25 miles per hour. I have to go check my sources. I believe Kalispell is where the center of the continental U.S. lies. It has some hot dispute. Let's see. No, Rugby, North Dakota. Wasn't really close there. I believe, let's see, that would have been before the International Peace Garden was. I don't know why I didn't put this in my notes. But if you're in North Dakota, Rugby, North Dakota is apparently the geographical center of North America. But then, like, whenever I did some research about it was like, yeah, it's actually like 500 miles off. So they kind of just claimed it and were like, y'all don't know how to do the math to prove us wrong. And then, like, 50 years later, someone was like, oh, yeah, y'all suck at addition, and it's actually way over there. So that's like all these little random things that you didn't know existed. And it's like, I randomly just drove through this town. I was driving through Rugby on the way to, I guess, Williston. And there's just like this stone obelisk, and it says Geographical Center of North America. And I'm like, huh, it's like in a gas station parking lot, and it looks like it's been there for 200 years. And so I pull over, and I'm just like, what in the world is this? And there's like a historical marker and everything. I'm just like, what? Anyways, so there's just a ton of random things in the Northwest. And, you know, I'm really glad that I just gave myself a window and was just like, stop wherever you want, go how far you want every day. Like, it doesn't matter. That made this trip really fun. And I see, you know, why people do that in other countries. I guess I do have that luxury if I wanted to during a summer and just wanted to go to like Bali and just stay there for 2 months and do whatever during that time. For some reason, for me personally, I feel like there's something different between, oh, I have a 2-week trip plan, but you know, it can take 3 weeks if I wanted to, versus, oh, I have a month in Asia, I need to make the most of it just because it's so far away. Although this was, I mean, thousands of miles away as well. Yeah, maybe I'm going to have to do that sometime, because kind of thinking back on this now, that was so much fun just to not have time limits or anything like that. So anyways, I kind of got off target there. But driving to Montana, there were like all these little small towns, and all the small towns were pretty cool, but you had to go like 25 miles per hour through them. So you'd be going like 70 miles per hour for like 10 minutes, and then 25 miles an hour, and then 75, and then 25, and then 75 and 25. And so it took like 9 hours to do this span just because you're having to slow down and speed up so fast. Around here, there's this thing called the dinosaur. It's like called the dinosaur trail, something like that. And it's where they found like all these dinosaur fossils and things like that. And so like all these little towns have like dinosaur museums. And so There's actually a map that you can find online, and it has like all the different stops along this route, and they're like all in Montana and North Dakota and stuff like that. And so, you know, if you have like kids or you like dinosaurs, this would definitely be a pretty cool route, and you can just kind of stop and go to all the different random dinosaur museums on this drive. So finally, the end goal of this drive on this day was getting to Glacier National Park. So I'm not really going to go too far into what I did at Glacier. I'll go ahead and leave that for next week when I really break down all the different national parks. But as you're driving through to Glacier, you drive through Lewis and Clark National Forest. And what I really love this about national parks is that whenever you drive to a national park, almost every time you're driving through a national forest or a state park to get there. And so even if you're not at the national park yet, there's still just amazing scenery all around you because you're still in like this, you know, safe and secure natural location. And it's pretty sweet. Lewis and Clark was really impressive. And there were some amazing scenes that I stopped and pulled over. There were some cool waterfalls and stuff like that. So that got me to Glacier. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. That's about halfway through my trip. And this is honestly like just the random portion of my trip. So I know it kind of seems like I was all over the place because I was. I drove through like 10 states in 6 days or 15. I don't even know. Anyways, I drove through a lot of different places and it was really fun. I think in 5 days I've already traveled like maybe 2,500 miles, which is crazy. I think I did like 6,000, like I said, total. Next week I'm going to go ahead and talk about Glacier, Yellowstone, the Tetons, Mount Rushmore, Devil's Tower. I visited quite a few places over the next week. I did a lot of hiking, and trails, and I'm really excited to tell you about those, but I don't think I have time to fit them in here today, so I'll leave those till next week. So hopefully this got you, I don't know what it got you, maybe excited to do a road trip or just to kind of appreciate what the Midwest has to offer or just what your country has to offer that you've never really explored before. I always knew that I wanted to do a trip like this. And for me personally, I always put international travel like on a pedestal higher than local travel or even U.S. travel. I'm not really sure why. I just feel like, you know, it's one of those things of almost like international travel is maybe harder to do or harder to attain. I feel like it's easier for me to say I'm going to take a week-long road trip than it is to I'm going to plan a week-long trip to this other country. And so I've always been like, I'm going to put all these U.S. trips on the back burner until, you know, I can't do an international trip. And well, lo and behold, thanks COVID, you made that happen. And so it made me take all these other trips that I'd kind of been putting off and put them up towards the forefront. I was like, hey, let's do that, you know, 2 week long road trip to all these national parks. Let's take that week long trip to Utah that you wanted to do. So it was nice to be able to say, okay, I really don't have another option. Let's go ahead and knock this big trip out that I've always wanted to take, but that I've kind of been putting off. And so this was an awesome trip. Like I said, this first week was pretty random and all over the place. I was kind of just hitting different states that I needed to, that I hadn't traveled to yet and kind of needed to check off. But I saw a lot of cool things that I had planned for. And I also ran into a lot of random things that I hadn't planned for. I really enjoy just getting off the beaten path here, taking this road trip and kind of just living a little bit more free, not as structured. This was a great opportunity for that, and I'm glad I took advantage of it. So with that being said, that's all I'm going to say today. remember, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world. Or explore your backyard, explore the United States, your country, wherever, and take that next adventure. I have pictures of all of these stops on my Instagram at Educate Your Travel. Leave me a comment here, leave me a comment there. Let me know if I missed something really awesome that I could have just driven like a mile off the interstate for. I was looking back, I keep getting off track. I was looking back at my Utah trip, and I was like looking at like what are the top places to look for petroglyphs, and there was like this amazing petroglyph site that was literally on my route that I took in Utah. Like, I would have had to have gotten like a mile off the exit. I probably saw a sign for it, like not just a huge billboard that says this is 100 miles this way, like a government billboard like sign that says, hey, take this exit and it's right here. And so I was like, are you serious? So, you know, if you just take your time, explore, you know, who knows what you can find that you've never, you know, known existed. You might find the geographical center of North America just randomly in a gas station parking lot. So anyways, thank you so much for joining me here again today. Feel free to leave me a comment here, leave me a comment somewhere else. I'd love to hear from you. And I can't wait to catch up with you next time. See ya.